So there are now just 39 days to go. Not till Christmas. I see some of you are panicking. It's a bit longer till Christmas. You have a bit more time than 39 days to finish your Christmas shopping. And I'd be happy to give you my own Christmas list in the foyer on the way out if you want to ask for it. But 39 days until the second most exciting event in December, the general election. December the 12th. Some of you may even be coming into this building, into the schoolroom, to vote in the general election, which I heard being described this week as the most significant election since the Second World War, which sounds very significant, more significant than probably any other election that you have voted in. That's what we're being told. And it is an important election. It's an important date. And we need to think about how we're going to approach it. That's what I want us to think about this morning. But I don't want to tell you who you should vote for, because that's not my job to do. And there's no one correct Christian answer to that question. I'm not even really going to tell you this morning how you should decide who to vote for. That's a complicated question that we all need wisdom and to ask for wisdom. And I'm not going to tell you who I'm going to vote for either, although feel free to guess in the foyer on the way out when you ask for my Christmas list. But I do want us to think about having a certain perspective on the 12th of December, on that general election today. An important, vital perspective on that date. An important perspective, whether you're here today as a Christian or you're not a Christian, whether you normally vote Tory or Labour or Lib Dem, or you're going to vote Brexit Party or whatever, whether you're here as someone who's engaged in politics, interested, or whether you're disillusioned, apathetic, whoever we are this morning, an important, vital perspective that we get from 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, Paul, when he wrote these words, and when God led him to write these words, he wasn't writing about an upcoming general election. This wasn't a time when they all went to the ballot box to vote on who the next king would be. It didn't happen like that. They didn't have the kind of suffrage that we have. But if he was writing that context, he'd say the same kind of things, and God speaks through these words to us this morning in our democratic context. And what we see from 1 Timothy 2, we know we keep getting told these words, your vote matters. You may have seen that kind of symbol, your vote matters. And I think the Bible would agree with that, and we should say that yes, our vote does matter, it is important. But even more than that, your prayers matter. For us as a church, what Paul says to us and what God is saying to us this morning, well, your vote may matter, but much more than that, your prayers matter. Our prayers matter as we approach this election. Now, I know some people would find that slide a bit disappointing. I don't mean in terms of the graphic design, I think I've done an excellent job with that, but in terms of people who would say outside the church, or maybe some of you may think it this morning, thinking, well, why do you Christians have to pray all the time about everything? Why do you talk so much about prayer? Can't you just get on with campaigning and then voting and you can write to your MP and whatever else? Why do you have to pray all the time? And the reality is probably, well, almost definitely, we don't pray as much as we should as Christians. But the reason why this is true, that if our votes matter, well, our prayers matter all the more. The most urgent issue facing our nation this December, the most urgent issue facing our nation this December is not something that you will find in any of the manifestos of any of the parties. It's something that votes at the ballot box on their own won't really make much difference to. But it is something where God will work in extraordinary ways through the prayers of his people. The most urgent pressing, important issue for our nation this December is not something that you'll find in any of the manifestos of any of the parties. It's an issue where God will work through the prayers of his people. But before we get to that issue, let's just see a few things that Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in the first few verses. We could imagine asking Paul some questions at this point. We could say to Paul, "Paul, does prayer matter?" That's quite a foundational question to clear up at the beginning, isn't it? Does prayer matter? Is prayer important? I think the simple answer to that is yes, for lots of reasons, most of which aren't in this passage. But we know that prayer is important because how does he start in verse 1? He says, "First of all, then," this is where we want to start. This is where I want to start my instructions to you today. "First of all, then," says Paul. And he doesn't just say, "First of all, then, I urge you to pray," but he gives four words for the same kind of activity. I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made. Four words, he could have just used one. But he wants us to stop and really think about how important all of these aspects of prayer are. Our supplications, where we bring urgent needs before God. Our intercessions, where we pray on behalf of others at the throne of our God in heaven. Our thanksgivings, when we come to God, thanking him for all that he has given us, because every good and perfect gift is sent from heaven above. Prayer matters. Prayer is important for lots of reasons, not least the fact that we can't do life alone. We weren't created to do life alone. We weren't made to do life alone, and this is not how this world was made. We're made to know relationship with God, to know our dependence on him in everything. And so prayer matters. So is prayer important? Yes. Then who should we pray for? And he says, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. All people. Now, when he says all people, I don't think he means that we should get out the phone book and go through it line by line and pray for each individual by name, not least because some people are ex-directory. But also, that's not what he has in mind. It's just widening our gaze beyond our immediate concerns. If you're a praying person, it may be that you find when you pray, you start by praying for your personal needs, and then you think about your family, and then you think about your close friends, and then you think about your less close friends. And then if you have time, you might go on to your even less close friends than that. And then if you've got even more time, people you are just on a nodding acquaintance with. And Paul says, well, all of those prayers and concerns are good and right. But let's blow that circle out to all kinds of people in all sorts of situations, not just the people who are immediately close to us, our immediate concerns. Let's look wider than that. Let's look wider than that. Because if we can't do life on our own, well, nor can anyone else. Prayer matters. Prayer for all people matters. Even, and this is where we start to move towards the upcoming election, even prayers, in verse 2, for kings and all who are in high positions. Even kings and officials, and in our context, prime ministers, ministers, junior ministers, MPs. To pray for them. To pray for all kinds of people, even those at the highest levels of government and the next level down, and the next level below that. Even if we don't know them personally, even, or perhaps especially, if we don't agree with their politics, and even if we don't agree with what they would say about Jesus, remember when these words were first written, There wouldn't have been any Christian heads of government anywhere in the world. And yet we pray for kings and those in high positions, for rulers, for prime ministers. Because if no one can do life on their own, well, no one governs on their own either. Because however high these human authorities are, there's a higher authority in heaven. And no manifesto promises can be made and acted on outside of God's plans and purposes. So prayer matters. Prayer matters for all kinds of people, even those who are kings and in high positions. First prayer matter, yes, who should we pray for? All people, including those in high positions of government. And what should we pray for? End of verse 2. Praying that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Essentially praying that as Christians we can live as Christians, worshipping and following our Lord. Peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. The human hand who wrote these words, he had experiences of going to cities where he could spend time with God's people and teach and encourage them, and experiences of being thrown out of cities and experiencing riots and things like that. And urging people to pray that there be more of the peaceful and quiet, the opportunities to teach and encourage and worship and follow the Lord. Quiet and peaceful lives, godly and dignified in every way. Does prayer matter? Yes. Who should we pray for? All kinds of people, even those in government. What should we be praying? Then one more question. Why? Why should we be praying that? This is where it gets particularly important. Why should we be praying that we live peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way? Why should we be praying that? It's not just so that as a church we can have a nice, comfortable life and a comfortable Sunday morning club and a Wednesday evening club that we come to. Not just that we can have a nice, comfortable life. Because our concern, we've already seen, is not just a narrow concern for us. It goes much wider. He goes on to tell us in verse 3 that these prayers for all people, including those who are kings and high officials, are good and pleasing in the sight of God, our Saviour, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God's concern for people to be saved. That's the context of what we just read. God's concern for people to be saved, which should also be our concern as we enjoy salvation in Jesus. Our concern for people to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. And so praying that our nation under our rulers would be an environment where we can live out that concern for people to be saved, that we can be a witness to our Saviour, that we can worship Him as a witness to Him, that we can speak of Him for His glory. Praying that we may live peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way, as a witness to our Saviour, as part of our concern for people to be saved, which is God's concern in our nation too. And this is where we get to the biggest issue that I hinted at the beginning, that most of you could probably guess. The biggest issue facing our nation this December is not something you will find in any manifesto, not something that votes at the ballot box on their own will make much difference to, but something where God will work through the prayers of His people. It's the need for people to be saved. The need for people to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the biggest issue facing our nation. That's the big concern that God has as He looks at this nation. The biggest issue that we should pray in light of as we approach December. There are lots of things we should be praying. But praying that those who are elected would govern in such a way that we can live out that concern for people to be saved as we worship and preach the gospel. Whether those who are in government realize that's what they're doing or not, that would be the result. and praying that we would ourselves live in that kind of a way. We would live out a concern for people to be saved, people, all kinds of people from all kinds of backgrounds, not just people close to us who are like us. And praying that God would be at work in the way that only He can. God doesn't just desire people to be saved, and that He's not just stood at a distance with His fingers crossed, hoping that maybe some people will be saved. He actually saves people, and He's at work in salvation. So we pray that God would be at work, even in and through and around the events of this December. And as we pray with a concern for people to be saved, praying that same thing, even for those in government, even for ministers, junior ministers, cabinet members, MPs. But these are individuals. They're not just part of government. They're individuals whose biggest need, the same as the biggest need of people across this nation, the need for salvation, to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's why we need to be praying. It's where it's not just our votes that matter, but our prayers that matter much more. The biggest issue facing our nation this December. And to focus our minds on that, Paul goes on in verses 5 and 6 to explain this one big issue that faces all people across our nation. And the one answer that there is for that issue, an answer that you won't find from any politician or through any manifesto promises, not an answer you can get by voting in a certain way at the ballot box, but an answer that comes from God Himself. One big issue facing all people, whatever background, and one big answer that we find in Jesus Christ. And we could look at just three words in these verses that tell us what that issue is, the one big issue in our nation, and what the answer is. There's one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all. Look at three words. First word, Jesus as our mediator. A mediator. This is a word that tells us something of what our big need is, the biggest need of people in our nation. Not about Brexit or NHS, something deeper. Our need for a mediator. We're used to mediators in all kinds of different aspects of life. Someone who can be a go-between between two parties who are having some kind of dispute in the hope of bringing some kind of reconciliation, some kind of agreement, some kind of resolution. And at the moment, we may be thinking about the ongoing question of whether there's going to be a postal strike this December. There's a dispute between the postal workers and the Royal Mail, and trying to work out what the right terms are so that you can still get your Christmas cards to put on your mantelpieces rather than having to write them yourselves, which is what I do most years. But this idea that these postal workers and Royal Mail, there's a mediator, someone who can be a go-between, who can try and bring some kind of reconciliation and resolution in this dispute. And we need a mediator because we're in a kind of dispute that's much more serious than what the Royal Mail are facing. A dispute with God about how we've lived. And we've talked about rulers and people in high positions, but the person who is the highest ruler and in the highest position of all, the highest position in heaven, God, who made this world and who made us, the ultimate great ruler of the universe, and we haven't listened properly to His rules. We haven't respected Him as our ruler as we should have done. We haven't lived up to what he's created us to be or called us to be. What the Bible says is that we have sinned, we've disobeyed, we've fallen short, we've turned away, we've sinned. Which means that our relationship with God is not what it should be. It's not right. We're not right with God. And the consequence, what we deserve to face for how we have lived, is for that situation of our relationship with God to end with us being shut out from his presence forever. Shut out from everything good that would involve. Shut out from life and goodness forever. It's a place of darkness, spiritual death in hell. That's what we all deserve for how we've lived, for how we've sinned, for how we've treated the great ruler of the universe. That's the dispute that we have as humans. And if we stand before God on the day of judgment that is coming, and we stand before God by ourselves, we don't have anything that we can bring to the negotiating table to try and persuade him of a different consequence. We can't say to him, well, I know that I have sinned and I've disobeyed you and I haven't respected you as the ruler of the universe, but here's a short list of some good things I've done. It's not going to mean anything on a negotiating table. There will be no negotiation. On our own, we don't have anything that we can offer to resolve this dispute. And that's why we need a mediator. Our biggest need, we need a mediator to stand between us and God. And God has provided us a mediator in Christ Jesus. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. That's the second important word, the man, Christ Jesus. We need someone who can represent us before God. We need someone who can represent us before God. The problem is that we can't elect someone from among us as humans to represent us before God. We can't have a worldwide referendum to decide on one person who's going to stand before God on our behalf as our representative of humanity to say, actually, it's not that bad. Because all of us, whoever we would elect, we've all taken part in that worldwide sin and rebellion. We all deserve the same judgment. But here in Christ Jesus, we have someone who can act as our representative, the one who is fully God, as the eternal Son of God, comes to earth as a man, fully God and fully man, living among us on this world, living as our representative, living the perfect life that we've failed to live, and then dying as our representative too, dying on the cross to take on himself our sin and our punishment. We need a mediator, and we find one in the man Christ Jesus, who is, third word, our ransom. A ransom, we speak about ransoms in lots of contexts as well. You pay something or you give something to set someone free. It's a ransom. And at the cross where Jesus died, we see he gave himself to set us free. Free from sin, free to relate to God, the God who made us. The cross where Jesus gave himself to set us free from sin, free to relate to the God who made us. That all those who put their trust in him, whatever we've done, whatever background we're in, if we put our trust in him, we can approach the God of the universe in and through him. He's our mediator who stands between us and God. We can approach the God of the universe in and through him. That we can be reconciled to God. To have our sin dealt with forever. An end of that cosmic dispute. And to know relationship with the God who made us, not just for 5 years under the Fixed Term Parliaments Act, but forever. In our mediator, Jesus Christ. The biggest issue facing our nation this December, the biggest issue facing everyone. So we need a mediator. And the only answer, we can't make our own answer. We can't try and work our way up to God. The only answer is in Christ Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom, gave himself to set us free to know God forever. The one big issue facing our nation and the one answer. This is the perspective we need to have when we approach the upcoming general election. But the most important question is not who are you going to vote for. I'm not going to ask you that this morning. Who are you going to vote for? The most important question is, do you know Jesus as your mediator? Do you know Jesus as your ransom? Are you still thinking that you could appear before God yourself on the day of judgment, if such a day is coming, which the Bible says it is? That you can appear before God on the basis of how you've lived and hope for the best? The Bible says that won't work. That won't work. All of us need a mediator. I need a mediator. You need a mediator. And the one mediator is the mediator that God has provided in the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom. The only answer, do you know Jesus as your mediator? That's the most important question today. Have you come to Jesus admitting that you have not lived perfectly, that you've fallen short, that you've sinned, thanking him that he died to free you from that, to put you back in relationship with the God who made you, asking him to forgive your sin on the basis of what he's done for you, and asking him to put you right with the God who made you and to live a new life as one of his people? Have you come to Jesus as your mediator? Do you know what it means to approach God in and through the man Christ Jesus, our ransom? If not, that's the biggest issue. Far more important than who you're going to vote for. The biggest issue. If you don't know Jesus as your mediator, then when you ask me for my Christmas list in the foyer, you can also ask me more about that. I'd love to chat to you more about that. What it means to know Jesus as your mediator. And if you do know Jesus as your mediator and your ransom, this is the perspective that we need to have in the upcoming election, that this is the biggest issue, people's need for a mediator, people's need for salvation. Other issues are important. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. Issues of Brexit and the NHS and employment figures, whatever else, those things matter, because those things make a difference to people's lives. Those things matter. And that's why we still vote where we have the opportunity to vote. But this is the biggest issue, the thing that matters the most, people's need for a mediator. This is where we can see real eternal change. Even among people in power. This is what our friends need to know, much more than our personal views on politics. Our friends need to know that there is a mediator in the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom. This is the most important issue as we approach our next general election. And that's why we must keep praying. Our votes matter, yes, but much, much, much more than that, our prayers matter. They matter because our prayers always matter. That's how we're created to live, and that's what it means to live as a Christian. And it matters on this election because of that most urgent issue that you don't find in any manifesto, but where God will work through the prayers of his people. As we pray for the result of the election, that we would be able to lead whatever happens. When it gets to December 13th, we'll be able to lead peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way, where we'd be able to live out our concern for people to be saved, a concern which brings glory to the God who desires that. Praying for ourselves, for our own desire, for our own concern, that we would be concerned with this above everything else, that we'd have right priorities and perspective to know that this is the most important thing and the thing our friends and neighbours most need to know. And praying for individual MPs and prospective MPs and ministers. They have the same need of a mediator. So pray for them, that even they might come to know this salvation in the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. I'm not sure that I pray that enough for those in our parliament and our government. It's easy, isn't it, to just think of them as some kind of faceless mass of people who govern us, and we pray for them as they govern us. But these are individuals who need a mediator. And as we pray for the upcoming election, and we pray for the result and for ourselves, to pray for those people who will be elected, they would come to know this mediator. And as we pray, lots of people have become disillusioned with voting, because you think you vote, it doesn't matter, it doesn't make a difference. As we pray, it does matter, and God works. God does answer prayer. Because when he desires people to be saved, he doesn't just stand at a distance crossing his fingers and hoping for the best, but he does save people. And Jesus died to free a people for himself. He is gathering that people to be his forever, including people in the highest levels of government. And so we pray. This December the 12th, your vote matters. I'd agree with that. But if you're a Christian, your prayers matter much, much more. And your prayers for people to be saved, for the gospel to go out. The biggest issue, people need a mediator. Praise God, we have one in the man Christ Jesus.